You wanna know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. Geocache, and if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. I cover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 434, recorded live on January 13, 2016. I'm your host, Ed Hard Hat with
Really Hot Scott.
And freezing cold Taz 427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE, and also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter, and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com. Go find it. Yeah, that tells you how fast I want this year to go by.
July. Good
July.
Lord.
It's like, let's do this. Well, you know, we try to block out our winters, and it's been terrible here.
Yeah, you poor thing.
It was in, like, it's supposed to go down to 23 tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I know, and I actually had to put on what I used to have as my spring jacket for Michigan as my winter jacket for down here, and I actually saw in a Walmart 6 snow shovels.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yeah, so
snow shovels out there?
Yes, and they were actual snow shovels, not the flat ones, the ones that are kind of C-shaped that you can actually...
All the kids were like, Mom, why is that shovel so long?
What is that thing?
So width of it, that's bugging me.
What is ice melt? I don't understand. Is it supposed to?
We've had cold. So, we had single digits here. Single digits in Chicago. Man. It's cold, man. I mean, if the other day I felt like -5 was the real feel, I'm like, ooh,
burr. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Luckily, I work from home, so I don't have to go anywhere. But
well, did you see that car on Facebook from Lake Erie?
Yeah, yeah, did
you see frozen that? In place. Yeah, that's out here. That's what they think it's like.
Right. Yeah. What's funny is that it's been like, you know, single digits for the past 3 days, and tomorrow it's supposed to be up to 40 degrees. That 40 is going to feel like 60. It's going to feel great. And I take a nice long walk tomorrow.
Shorts.
It's going to feel real good. Yeah, it's going to feel good.
It was cold here, and I actually saw somebody in a department store wearing flip-flops and shorts. I'm like, that's a man's man. Oh, that's somebody from the north.
My 10-year-old's wearing flip-flop and shorts right now. You kidding me? That kid, unless I make him put pants on, he's not wearing pants.
I'm not even going to go there because that's too much like me.
The millennial.
Chad, how's the weather out your way?
It was fairly warm today. It was up in the 50s, not too bad, but it's usually waking up in the mornings in the 30s and 40s.
I know, it's brutal. Brutal, I tell you.
You poor babies.
I know, and you get wind, and you might actually get both combining enough to actually make a wind chill for a minute.
You poor, 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 poor baby.
I know. Please send all funds to.
Yeah. I've actually used an ice scraper once this year.
Wow. All right. Yours actually says what? Clear in 11 degrees?
No, 21. It feels like 11 right
feels
now.
Feels like 11. Wow.
There you go. That's Chicago right now.
Man. I wish Corey was here so we could really ridicule somebody, but.
Screw him.
Because he had one of those winter. Blasts go through Wyoming and out his way, and it's like, no, thank you. I'm sorry. Where the deer just stick in their place and just stay there, you know it's cold.
The deer are knocking.
Let us in.
10 minutes by the fire. Can I have 10 minutes by the fire?
Yeah, really. Yep. So that's how things are going. Geocaching wise, not too much this week, but I'm getting ready for, and this is gonna be fun. There is a Cub Scout troop, and the scout leader knows wife Amy, and basically called saying, "Help! I have no idea we want to do an outing for geocaching. We have no idea what we're doing. Could you help? So we're going to go out there, and I'm going to bring some examples and some brochures and a bunch of other stuff and some goodies, and we're going to go over this place that that has a fairly good amount of geocaches in the park. And so we're going to take the Cub Scouts out for about an hour and a half and teach them geocaching 101. So that should be a lot of fun to see.
Do they get a patch for that?
The Cub Scouts, I think, actually have a patch.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
And true. I know the Boy Scouts have the merit badge, and the Girl Scouts now have a badge as well. So, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you're kidding.
Nice. Yeah, this will get them going, and I'm looking forward to it because this should be great watching them try to find a geocache.
Well, what do you do? Do you give them a GPS? How does that work?
Well, I'm going to bring a couple of mine just so that they can you can have a couple of the we'll set them up in a couple of groups and let them follow the bouncing arrow to try to find the geocache and then have them try to find it. So this should be a lot of fun.
Have them do a letterbox hybrid.
Yeah, no doubt. Give them a little that away.
Yeah, letterbox hybrid.
Yeah, so it should be interesting. Yeah. Besides freezing your niblets, Mr. Scott, how you been doing?
Good. You know, so, I mean, I've gotten sick twice in the past like 3 weeks.
No doubt. Just
freaking kids, man. And so I didn't get much caching done in the past week. I actually got one cache, and that's because I was like, I haven't gotten a cache in a while. And so I know there's a bunch of puzzles near me, so I solved one of them. I know, shocking to everybody. But
yeah, really.
I actually solved one of them. And went and grabbed it. Well, actually, I'm lying. I didn't solve it. I halfway solved it, and then brute forced where I figured the final would be. I'm like, okay, it's got to be in this area. That looks like the perfect spot. First place I checked, there it was.
Bingo. Yeah.
So I can't say I solved the whole puzzle. I solved half the puzzle. I got the north coordinates, and then I cheated my way from there. Cause, you know, once you get the north, it's only this way, and it can only be a certain number of places. And it literally went white to a green monster. You know, those like green machines. I'm like, it's got to be that. So it was. So, yeah. So I halfway cheated.
Wow.
I know. So,
Mr. Ethics. That's it. Once again.
That's it. That's all I did. I'm just trying to get better because it's been so crappy out. I don't want to push myself. And
oh, I bet.
I mean, my steps are down horribly to like 5,000 a day. I'm just trying to like rest easy and get better because I just every time I like push myself, I get sick again. So.
Yeah, and you and CPACs are just not.
Oh God! I had 10 days. It was brutal. Yeah. Just made me loony. Yeah. I hate them. Wow. I hate them. Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Taz, how about yourself?
Yeah, well, I stayed healthy, thankfully, because I got my surgery in. If I was sick, they wouldn't do the surgery. So last Thursday, I got my arthroscopic knee surgery, and I didn't do any caching after that, surprising.
Why not? Really? Come on, hop along, man. You got one good leg.
You know, they do handy caching. You know, you can, win one ones. They're out there.
Skirt, but I'm with Sonny on that.
So. Wow. Jeez. So other than that, how things are going? What's the prognosis? Are you going to be doing marathons anytime soon?
No marathons, probably ever. Ever. That said, I did my follow up today. They took the stitches out and checked the mobility of it, and everything's coming along pretty good. I'll start physical therapy probably next week, Friday or next week, depends on when I get a hold of them and schedule some physical therapy. And
I thought you were going to do there. That. I thought you weren't going to do PT.
My wife is saying, yeah, you're really
here good. It comes.
So it's like I'll at least go to a couple of sessions, get the motions down, and then say, I'm not paying for this crap after that.
Well, that's the spirit. Get out there and show them what's what.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job. Well, we're glad to hear you get doing good.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, good stuff. Let's see, moving on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And tomorrow, by the way, how did last week go, Mr. Burks?
What?
Did you guys not do a? I thought you were going to do a show with GeoGearheads last week.
Was I in GeoGearheads last week?
You know, that's what happens when you're the gopher of the love boat. I think on the podcast.
Yeah, I think I was on it. I don't remember. Yeah, you're right. I was. Were we on? Was that 2 weeks ago? I thought it was 2 weeks ago. That was last week? Yeah, I was on last week. Yes,
I
was.
See what happens with CPACs?
So I was on. It went good. It was good. I couldn't even tell you what we talked about. Oh, we talked about smartphone caching. Right? Yeah. It was good. Yeah. Everybody.
And obviously
it.
Really memorable. Good. That's good. I liked it.
Yeah. The patron show was better, but the show was good. So if you're a patron, you got the bonus. Good show. So
awesome. So make sure you check out GeoGuardians for 2:10 and for show 2:11.
Me and Shorty. Me and Jess were both on the show.
Yep. We've got episode 211, Travelers 3. Dave DeBearmaker and Daryl and Chris are going to talk about working with geocaching trackables. So that's
working with them.
I just got this old soundtrack going on.
I'll have to listen to the show.
We'll have to see just to find out about working with trackables. Are they taskmasters or are they more micro? I'm just wondering.
Work with it.
Yeah, so that's tomorrow on Thursday in GeoGearheads, and on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast, wife Amy and I will be talking about geocaching challenge types. Since leap year is this year, we don't want everybody going February 29th, really? So we're going to talk about challenge caches and things that you might want to keep in mind over the next couple of weeks.
I can't believe it's time again for the 29th.
I know it.
Anyway, God, I remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah, it just goes.
I remember I took the day off. Everybody went to Wisconsin. Like the whole state of Illinois cashers went to Wisconsin for some reason.
And had cheese. I don't know.
They all went. I didn't go. I took most of the day off, and I got like eight. I think I had eight cashers on the 29th, and I think two of those are events. You know, I think I went to a couple events that day. It was a good day. I mean, it was warm. It was actually pretty warm for a February day in Chicago.
Yeah, really.
Yeah,
you didn't have to use the wood. You could use the wood chisel and not the metal chisel for getting your car on. So that's good.
Yeah, and poor Jesse. We were talking. Jesse actually DNF'd a cache on the 29th of February.
Oh no!
I hope she found something.
So she's really looking forward to it because.
Oh, so she has. This is the makeup.
She's had to wait 4 years. Or, yeah.
Wow. She's still got a big O and on February.
She's got a big donut on the 29th. Ooh. Yeah, yeah. She's actually going to finish her. Her calendar, she's like 3 days left. She left a couple right around the 29th, just so she wouldn't feel bad, like, till there's only one. So she's got a couple that at the end of the month. So she's actually going to finish her 366. So it's going to be done.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, folks. Also, please, 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 we have thousands and thousands of viewers and listeners to our show, but very few people that are actually patron contributors. In other words, helping out the show financially so that we can keep the lights on and hosting going. And you guys, wonderful and interesting information and tidbits each and every week. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So please check over to geocachingpodcast.com and click on the Patreon graphic over there and give us a couple bucks a month. We would greatly appreciate it. All right. Time now for the, as I turn my slider up, geocaching question of the day.
Geocaching question of the day.
Hey, cachers, this is Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, and I'm your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, Cache Advance is your geocaching hub for all your caching needs, including the Cache Crate, a monthly subscription box of geocaching and outdoor gear. Well, Mondays through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching.
We recently asked, do you have any geocaching goals for 2016? Well, lots of cachers shared with us that they have some far-flung challenge caches in their sites this year, such as the Jasmer and Visi challenges. Others are looking more closely at their area, DeLorme, and county challenges. A few shared their finds goals, including, of course, getting a find on Leap Day this year, and some even have hiding goals for the year. Many others, well, they just want to have fun. So here's what we heard. Daryl shared, to complete our DT grid, or difficulty terrain grid, as we finished our calendar last year. Oh, good job, Daryl. Alicia shared, my 1 year anniversary is March 3rd of geocaching, so my goal is 365 in the first year. I stand at 255. Wow, that's a great job, Alicia. Well, Bart on Facebook shared, just to get out and do more caching this year. Well, Don really summed it up for most of us. He shared, to go out and have fun with the game and the people I meet along the way. Keeping it simple is easy this year. Yes, I will work on Jasmer and place dates throughout the year, but really, if they are not complete by 2017, it does not matter. It's the trip along the way that matters and the memories that will be made. Well, my goal personally is to get in more hiking this year and hopefully some great caches along the way. Our winter here in Spokane isn't helping much, so I'm predicting more hikes coming up this spring and summer. Well, as always, we really enjoyed hearing about geocaching goals, and you can too. If you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks all, and happy caching.
Well, thank you, Lisa, and yeah, good stuff. Actually, a great segue for tomorrow's show. Yeah. So, geo snippets. So, good stuff. And yeah, that's definitely as much as people may not be into numbers, they do love the challenges, and it's always fun when you find out that you've qualified for some. And we're going to go over tomorrow on how you can find out just that. So, good stuff. Excellent. All right, tonight's episode is geocaching. Episode 434, our good old-fashioned Cache Your Coffee. I don't think we've actually had one for a couple months now. Cache Your Coffee, if you don't know, is kind of a smorgasbord of different topics that each of the hosts get together and just come up with discussions. Sometimes it deals with geocaching, sometimes not, sometimes somewhere in between. And you never know what we're going to get until we actually do the show. And we've got a good collection here. And Scott, do you want to start off with yours, and we'll work on the negative side of people sometimes when it comes to geocaching, and we'll work up from there. How about what do you got for us?
Well, what I just put I wanted to talk about was obviously counties that discourage, but make it very difficult to hide geocaches. And I actually live in one. I live in Kane County, Illinois. Which is a county that they make it somewhat difficult to actually hide a geocache. I put a link. I don't know if you're gonna put it in the show notes or not, but you can take a look at it and you can see all the rules that you have to abide by in order to get a cache published. And we actually know a cacher who just tried to do one in Kane County. He was telling us about how much of a pain in the ass it really was.
Oh yeah.
But they have like the example, like a prime example is there's only 5 caches allowed in a forest preserve in one. Then that's it in one forest preserve. So wow. I was saying, like I've said before, me and Jesse once literally cleaned out our entire county in one day, of our forest preserves, just because it was pretty easy to do, And most of those caches were they were grandfathered in, because now there's all the rules of it's got to be in a clear container, it can't, it's got to have a sticker. The sticker every January 15th, the sticker has to be renewed. You got to go check it. You got to bring them out to it to see it, the whole 9 yards.
Oh, really?
If you want to move it, you can't just move it. You got to go through the whole hassle all over again. Yeah, it's a whole ordeal.
Now, is the preserves? They say about the Forest Preserve District. Are these county preserves? Is this state?
These are county preserves. Those are county preserves, right, Jess?
Yes.
Yeah, county preserves. Yeah.
Wow. That's what I thought.
Yeah, Kane County. Yeah.
That's amazing.
But then you have like Lake County or Cook County. You have Cook County that has Busty Woods that over 100 geocaches in it. Me and Jesse, I remember it was a beautiful day that we went and did this. We cleared out all the preserves in our neighborhood, and it was a beautiful day, and the preserves were completely empty. Completely. Okay. Now, I know, without even looking, Busty Woods was packed, and probably half of those people weren't geocachers. But it was just empty, completely empty. And nobody, it was a shame, and they were beautiful. I mean, I always drive by beautiful woods, and Jessie's like, it's county. She just shakes her head and says, county. It's just a shame. It really is, because it's like, and I don't know, somebody's got a bug up their ass who works, obviously, at county. There's got to be, that's got to be the only reason. Is someone's got a poor taste in their mouth about geocaching, and literally all you could really do is wait them out and wait till they retire or move on, because you're not going to change somebody's mind about it, I don't think, And the worst part is, I was talking. The guy who just hid one was saying like he had a really hard time because like they weren't. The guy wasn't emailing him back. He wasn't calling him back. So he's not even making it. He's not making himself accessible. He's making it a hassle to top it all off, to hide a cache out there. So,
yeah. And it's not like you can blame the state or the DNR or something like that, because some states, they do have tougher restrictions than others. But if it's literally confined to one county,
yeah,
it's pretty easy to see where the blame goes for something like that. Do you know if they have any particular, you know, shy of being a fuzz budget, do they have any reasons why it's just...
No, I have no idea. I personally have not talked to anybody. I have no idea. I've not placed a cache in county preserves or anything, because I'll just go over the border to Lake and place a cache. You know, I have no problem doing that. You know, but it's just, you know, it's a shame, because, you know, you're losing out on people coming. That's why, you know, I place a cache in the county I live in, and you know, in public, not in county preserves, and it gets hit, you know, maybe 10 times a year. That's it. And that's not a lot of times to get hit.
Really?
I hide caches in Lake County, and they get hit, you know, 4 or 5 times a month, you know. And so it's nobody comes out here because there's nothing out here. There's nothing out here because people can't hide caches in the woods out here. You know what I'm saying? Right. So there's really, aside from, we have what's called the Randall Romp, which is a couple hundred caches. They're all park and grabs up and down, you know, 20 miles of Randall Road, which is right outside my window. But aside from that, nobody comes out here. People come out here to get the parking grabs. They don't come out here to get the woods. They don't see the beautiful woods that are in King County, because they don't need to. Why waste their time?
And it's got to impact business and all the rest of that, as far as, okay, maybe they don't have it, so they don't know the benefits of having an influx of people coming in to check out the parks and bringing their dollars with them.
Yeah, my guess is you got somebody. I mean, there's plenty of anti-geocaching people out there. You know, there's a ton of them. My guess is whoever's in charge of the Kane County has got to stick up his butt about it, or her butt. Mm-hmm. I couldn't say his.
Leave trash and geotrails are evil.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That kind. You know, they'll destroy our forest preserves. Is my
Have you actually walked through the woods and seen game trails? I'm sorry, game trails are far more evident than.
Oh yeah, especially in the, depending on what the game is. I mean, you've got you know, large creatures like deer coming through, eating up bark and making their trails with that. I mean,
they're scraping it off the trees, rubbing their backs. What do you mean?
Right. I mean, that's part of nature.
If you have some very sensitive areas and you want to keep people out of there, that's fine.
No, you're cording them up.
But this is overkill.
Lake County has a whole section of their woods that is, you can't hide caches in. And you know what? We all know it, and you could see it on the map. On the geocaching map, there's a big circle of, you know, of no cache area, because it's all what's it called when they're trying to restoration? It's a restoration area. Mm-hmm. And so so there's a big, huge area, but everybody knows it. Nobody respects that.
And you respect it exactly, and that is key.
For Kane County, how do they not look at a map and go, look at all this money we're losing just by, I mean, people come, they'll eat here, they'll, you know, they'll spend their money here.
We can't have that. We'll have people walking in our woods.
Yeah, I mean, literally the woods, when I say empty, the woods are empty, completely empty. It's a shame. It really is. I mean, I feel bad for the people who work there. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I guess I don't, I mean, you know, they don't got to pick up much and do much. I mean, it's a shame. It really is.
And there's other ones out there. I know there are. Even in North Carolina, there was a huge struggle, and they're just now making headway with the right people talking to the right people, mm-hmm. and showing the benefits. And they're just now, after many years, and I give the NCGO organization a ton of credit for a lot of their key people that have been keeping up for the past years, inching their way in and saying, look, this, you know, have your permits, have your stuff set up, but, you know, loosen the stranglehold. And that's finally starting to come together, and I'm hoping they're going to see just that. They're going to see the influx of people coming in.
Not only that, but, you know, encourage geotours of the state parks or a coin giveaway. You know, you hit the caches, so many caches in the various ones, and Texas does it with punches at each of the caches, specific punches.
Yeah, they got passports that you can use.
Yeah, McHenry County here, which is literally the next county over,
right,
has like their coin thing every year, and it's a tremendous success. Tremendous.
Yeah. They definitely make the money up from that from park pass sales.
Oh yeah.
So it's It's the right person being in the right job and the wrong person being in the wrong job is what it is.
It exactly is.
You know? Yeah.
And hopefully that changes over time.
Yeah, hopefully, like I was saying, wait him out. You know, wait till the guy or girl either retires or moves on, unfortunately. So yeah, if you put the link in the show notes,
yeah, I'll
do
that.
You could see my county and what you have to do to go through to put a cash.
Yeah, no doubt. One of the things I've been talking with the hosts over the past week or so are coming up with show ideas for 2016. One of the people that I absolutely want to get on is WB Tim, because not only has he helped establish some of the best geotrails in West Virginia, he has now taken it to another level where it's an enterprise level. So he's talking to business people and showing business practice on how geocaching can help communities just to do things like that. So that's some of the stuff that hopefully when we get him on, we can talk about that as well. As maybe he's got some cool ideas that we can help in situations like this where you've got somebody that's just needs a little enlightenment, or their boss needs a little enlightenment, and go that way. So
yeah, it's a shame. It really is. You know, it's these great woods that nobody goes in.
Yeah, it is a shame. All right, Scott, good stuff. Taz, I loved yours. We gotta talk about yours.
Yeah. So, what to do when you want to go caching, but your body won't let you?
Amen, brother.
So, binge watching a couple seasons of Doctor Who, do things like solve some puzzles. That's aimed at you, Scott.
There you go.
Solve some puzzles. Sit there on the couch. Look at the puzzles. You don't have to solve them all. Another good thing to do is plan out some trips for geocaching. You know, look at different areas. Hey, what area haven't I hit recently? And if you got a map that's pretty filled out, what area haven't I hit? Are there some really interesting things to do? Start looking at favorite points. Those are awesome things to do. Challenge caches. If you don't have an account at Project GC, you can get an account at Project GC and say, hey, are there a bunch of challenge caches around here that I qualify for and that I can go sign an easy challenge cache?
Yeah. Now, just out of curiosity, now you've had problems for quite a few months with your leg. I've had issues with mine over the past 2 months or so, actually a little longer than that now. When it comes through for people, and okay, the age jokes are going to start up too, so I just let's just get it over with. Mm-hmm. When you start getting older, like on the situation I'm in now, I'm starting to push 50 and
push 50?
Or 50-ish. that's as far as I'm going, and we'll keep it right there because I'm right in the same group with Sonny and Greg and a couple of the other podcasters out there, so we're right there. And you go through, and you just realize physically, you know what? I'm not going to be climbing those trees I used to was. Or, you know, in the terrain of the areas that you're in where you're doing a lot of climbing, you're going into hollers, you're climbing hills, you're going into this stuff, and it's starting to get to the point where it's like, especially by yourself, your limitations are starting to get bigger.
A lot of that has to do, I mean, I've got a cacher out in Chicago named Geo Gill. He's pushing probably 80. First time I ever met him was 30 feet up a tree. He was. you can't say that because I don't climb trees anymore because I'm chicken. Ever since I fell out of one, I'm almost gun shy. I won't go more than 10 feet up it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But it's what your body can do. Like, as long as my body can do whatever I want it to do. So I'm still at the point where if I want to ride 20 miles, I can ride 20 miles. I'm going to feel it the next day, and I'm going to be in a bad mood the next day. But I can still do whatever I want to do. And I think that's where you want to get yourself. You want to get your body personally to a place where you can still do whatever you want to do, even if you're going to be sore the next day, but just doing what you want to do.
Yeah. You know. It's identifying the limitations.
Yeah, when you hit those limitations to you know, like, hey, I'd love to, you know, hike up that mountain, but I can't. physically can't, that's when it gets.
And knowing when to turn back.
Yeah, I definitely know. Trust me, I've climbed down a tree many a times. Yes, going, nope, not happening.
Yeah, it really is. It's identifying the limitations and then just, you know what, those were the bygone years. They were great. This is what I can do now. Let's focus on that.
No, but everybody wants, no. Come on, we're all 20 on the inside. Come on.
You know, para-jumping off the sides of hills and mountains sounds great, but, you know, getting down's easy. It's either getting down lightly or getting back up is the issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how you notice your body changing, how you're getting older.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you're like, oh.
It's like my knees never went in that direction before.
You know, The mind is willing, but the body is not.
It just isn't. And it's accepting that. The key is, and I think Scott kind of pointed on this before, I've found this out, believe it or not, in something like Tai Chi with martial arts. Even if you do some and you get as much motion that you can do, you can't do all the fancy stuff that you used to do, but you can get into it and continue doing it, is still so much better than not doing it.
Well, of course.
I've talked to people that had been doing Tai Chi for years, elderly folk that did Tai Chi, and they stopped for whatever reasons, and suddenly their age caught up with them because they stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow that. Keep pushing what you can, as much as you can. Don't stop. So, you know, even if it's going for the handicapped ones, because that's all you can get to right now, do that. That's so much better than sitting home doing nothing.
Well, and that's why it's geocaching is so important, just because it gets you off the couch. When push comes to shove, it just gets you off the couch. And it gets you moving. Even if you're getting out the car to go get the LPC, you're still getting out the car, lifting the skirt, signing the log, putting it back, walking back to the car.
Yeah. You
know, that's better than sitting on your couch doing nothing.
Yeah, and even the social aspects of things. I mean, I light up every time I go to an event. I may just want to sit in the corner and just say hi and just enjoy the correspondence with some of the people around, but not being able to, that just doesn't compute for me. I just, getting out and be able to talk to people and socialize at geocaching events and just be there is so much better than not.
Yeah, and I just feel so much better. You know, when I do a full day of walking, you know, that Sunday I may be a little sore, but I'm a lot happier, you know. I noticed, even Jesse said, like, you know, because I've been telling her, I've been like, my anxiety's been kicking in, and she's like, mm-hmm. I think because you haven't been walking. She's like, you're not getting the exercise you've been getting for the past year. You know, something. You know, my walking is down tremendously because I've been sick for the past 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
So my walking is down to 5,000, which is usually around 15,000. I'm not walking that anxiety out. You know, I'm not getting that out.
Yeah.
So it's like, she's like, I think it's just because you're not walking. I'm like, you might be right. You know, I never even thought of that. You know.
And the kicker is, the older you get, I've heard, the worse it is. So, in other words, the longer you stop, the harder it is getting back going. So, keep it up, folks. Keep going with that, and keep going as long as you can. Stay young. Stay young.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know. Don't ever let anybody tell you can't do it. You know.
Yep. Good stuff. And in chat, if we have to come out there with tasers to get you up and doing therapy, we'll do it. I'm just saying. Or we'll hire people to come up and just taser. Either way.
Small baby steps. Baby steps. Baby steps.
That's right. That's right. And you lift the skirt slowly, and I'm just saying.
Was that a shot at his manhood, or were you talking about LPC?
Whatever, but hey, it's been a while. I'm in to do it.
Use your legs, not your back, while lifting the skirt.
Exactly, sir. Good point. And a golden nugget for your geocaches out there. All right, one of the things that I saw in the geocaching blog this week, which was kind of interesting, I'd never... You know, you hear about their geocache of the week, and it's all over the world, and they show really, really cool, obviously, geocaches to make it for geocache of the week. And what they've got a feature for now, and the link will be in the show notes, is find a geocache of the week near you. So they've taken all the geocaches of the week that they have done, and this has got quite a few of them now. I think it started in... I want to say for the past 5 years or so, they've been doing it. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the link, they have a world map. And on the world map, they've got where all these geocaches are. I was surprised there was one in North Carolina like it is. I didn't even realize it was a geocache of the week. So yeah. If you are planning a trip and you want to go someplace, you might want to check this out, one, not only for the local areas where you're at, but if you're going to go someplace else, this would be, I would think the king of the favorite points of different ones to go for.
Right. Well, how do you make this map larger? Oh, there we go.
Yeah, you can just...
I'm trying to see if there's one in Chicago.
Yeah. They've actually... There's one just northwest of Chicago that's up there.
I'm northwest of Chicago.
Yeah, but it's like by Woodstock.
I'm by Woodstock.
Are you really? Then there's one right near you. There's one there called Tree of Souls.
Tree of Souls I've been to already. Come on.
Really? Okay.
I was telling you about the McHenry County Geocoin. That's one of them. That's one of the coin ones.
All right. Right,
that wasn't that one of the coin ones?
It's not one of the coin ones. It's near the coin.
Oh, sorry. My mistake. I'm lying.
Okay. Well, then.
It's near where the coin ones
are. You can plan your next trip off that way. There you go.
I've been there. It's very cool. It's this tree with all these shoes in it. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Neat.
I mean, when I see a bunch of shoes, I mean.
Puzzle. I found the next puzzle I'm going to solve.
There you go.
About 30 minutes away from me.
The one by Milwaukee.
That's a
whole Take a deep breath. Stuff. Have we found Take a Deep Breath, Jeff?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, there's a couple in North Carolina. The one that I really like. That I did the one after this. I did Leaf, which if you look at, let's see, this side. This picture right here, if you're looking at the video, is actually a picture that was taken from a camera that went up with a weather balloon a little over 100,000 feet in the air. And there's actually a travel bug where this orange is. It's a Martian. And that travel bug was up in the geocache that went up. With the camera that took this particular picture. This was Leaf. This was after Sputnik. And the one that's by me is called Pineland Sputnik 2010, and that was the first one that E6C did. And basically what it is you have several key points where it took off. It's a multi, and he said, "Don't be surprised if you look at your GPS and it says the end is 124 miles away because it shows where it went up in the weather balloon, and then you actually go where it landed 124 miles away towards the East Coast and get the final there because wherever it landed, the landowner gave permission to keep the final
really?
At that spot, and that's where the geocache is."
Hmm.
So that's the one I'm going to be going for. So that's kind of cool. So this gives you a little hint. And again, we'll have this in the show notes where you can find out if there's a geocache of the week near you.
Nice.
Good stuff. Yeah. Let's see. The other stuff that I've got, one of the other things that I'd like to get with people too is I know Gearheads has had a couple, and Scott, you actually got a 3D printed.
I did.
TARDIS, yes.
I did. Yes, I did.
I would love to get a hold of some people that do 3D printing and get them on the show. And then, because I'll put this on for Chad's actually got. What is that, Chad?
That's an acorn. Yeah.
Is that a geocache, or is that just somebody 3D printed?
That's a geocache that I printed. Let me.
You printed?
Open it up, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Look at him like, yeah. Like
hey, you're did more you not on. Know? Awesome. That is
Here's
so cool.
Here's one that I designed myself, and you can't tell. That's a flat surface there. It's got two magnets in the back, and it looks like a mud dauber's nest.
Oh,
it's like a what?
Did you ever see those wood? He wants to know what a wood dauber is.
I don't know what that is.
If you've ever seen a It's like a wasp, and it has it makes these tubes out of mud, and you'll see a cluster, usually two, three of them together, and they're long and thin, and they got a hole in the top. I'm just saying.
Wait, is this a bee?
So in the bottom of it, you know, I got a bison tube up in the bottom of it. And
oh, nice. Look at that.
I haven't placed it yet. I need to place the thing.
Is it a bee, the insect that you're talking about?
Yeah, it's like a wasp.
Okay, like a wasp.
Okay. It's like a wasp, yeah.
Okay.
Now, where did you actually make this since we've got...
That 3D
You've got a 3D printer in the back.
Yeah.
Gee, if only we could find somebody that had a 3D printer that could talk about this.
Ah, printer in the back.
Wow. So Chad will be on in a future show talking about 3D printing. And I wanna put in for my unique 3D printing item, because everybody else, especially when we were on Cash and Release, everybody had 3D printing items except for me. And not that I feel sad that I'm the only one out of the group that did not have a 3D printing item. Hint, hint, wink, wink, Chad.
Did everybody have it from the same cashier who made it for us?
I didn't. I never got one. Apparently I'm in the out club. But anyways, it would be good to talk to somebody that knows how to do 3D
printing. Andy, you've never put it out there. I put it out there. I said to him, live on air, I think it was on Joe's show, make me a TARDIS. I want a TARDIS.
Yes.
I said that to him. You got to put it out there. Put it out there in the universe. He doesn't know.
I need to get my 3D printer back up and running, because now I want to build a TARDIS since I binge watched the first two seasons.
Ah, see. Okay.
Here you are.
I got a great thing about wizards and fantasy stuff. This is that's why I love Cashier Coffee, because we can get away with stuff. Look at that. That's gorgeous.
And he actually made a thing where you could put lights in there too. I just didn't do it. You can put lights in there and it'll light up and stuff.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty here.
All right. So we now know who we can talk to about 3D printing on a future show.
Yeah.
So that's good. But the one that I had was I'll have a link to the show notes, and you can just watch the video here now and see them yourself. But this was kind of cool. It was a micro that they made, and I'm trying to think what they called it. They just called it a hanging micro, and it was made. It's called the old Mendelmax 1.0. I don't know what a Mendelmax. It looks like a. If you were to enlarge it, it just looked like a wicker basket that you would see with a top to it, and it's got all the woven look all the way through it to the very bottom where it's got some inlay. It's really kind of neat, and again, it's in the show notes. And what surprises me, and I guess since you're using laser etching with all this, how accurate. How the threading works, where it actually does what it's supposed to. How many tries does it take to do that?
Usually one try. Well, your printer can go a little askew, but usually if everything's set up right, it'll do it every time. And it's not actually etching, though. It is... basically, it's depositing layer after layer after layer of plastic.
Yeah.
Extrusion is what it's actually called. One thing I'll say, if you have someone that makes one like this that has threads, or like my
Acorn,
you need to use write and arraign paper, because it's basically like using threaded PVC. Have you ever
really
done a cache with threaded PVC?
Mm-hmm.
You know, water's going to be in there.
Okay, really? Good to know.
It's one of the reasons why the Mud Dauber one that I designed, I designed it so that I could insert a bison tube into the bottom of it.
Right. Well, you might be able to, like, if you could put it under a lip or something, you know, if something's got a lip like so, you know.
Cover it some.
Yeah, give it a little.
I guess the humidity level in Houston, it would pull it in there. Maybe other areas, maybe like here, it probably wouldn't be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's going to depend upon, I think, the humidity.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt, yeah, because PVC is not watertight. I don't care what anybody says. I've made several several of them, and yes, you always put a container in the host.
Yeah, PVCs are definitely not watertight. Yes.
No.
Yes.
But it screws on, and it's like 3 inches. Yes, and water goes right down the top, right down to the bottom.
Exactly, yes.
It does.
I agree. Agree completely.
All right, so now that I'm completely dejected about 3D printing, we'll have Chad on and we'll talk more about that in a future show in the year. Oh, no, I've got one right back here.
Yes. It's been there forever.
The host always surprised. I'm just saying. Yes. All right, good stuff. Anything else you want to bring up, or are we about done here?
No, I'm good.
All right, I think we are all set. All right, folks, well, thank you so much for stepping on by to the Geocaching Podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Please consider becoming a patron and a contributing factor to literally help keep the lights on and keep everything else going with the podcast. It's very simple. You just go to geocachingpodcast.com and click on the Patreon graphic. Send us a couple bucks each week or each month. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it. All right, let's move on. Thank you, fine folks, for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Thank you to cache-advance.com for everything you knew. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. A video version of our show is available on YouTube. And the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2016 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved. And clear. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, folks, we hope you enjoyed the show. We've got a whole list of show ideas. Yay. Thank you guys for sending that in. We greatly appreciate it. You know, it's not easy coming up with ideas every week. And when you got a little, you know, set of them, where I can just go, you know, that looks really good. Let's talk about that. Makes it a lot easier. So thank you for the host for sending in your ideas. Yeah, it was greatly, greatly appreciated. Yep. If you have a suggestion for somebody that you'd like to have on the show, please send that in to us as well. We'd love to hear that so we can work out a schedule. Not quite as bad as Daryl, where he's booked to 2020, I think. but at least for the next year or so, it would be great. We'd greatly appreciate that as well. All right, have a safe one. It's weird out there with the weather. The wintery stuff in the northern area is good and hearty, and we love watching it on TV here down in North Carolina, so I'm just saying. So it's fun to look at Chicago and Snicker and realize you still don't have a snow shovel. I'm just saying. All right. Have a good one, folks, and we will see you next week on the Geocaching Podcast. Bye-bye, folks.